Cohn, who holds degrees in education and psychology, by the way. And she's also an author and everything else. So thank you for taking the time to call in, Dr. Cheryl Needle Cohn.
Oh, thank you, Sita, for having me on your show. And what a wonderful segue opening with our referencing the Ukraine, which is under such pressure now, and where I traveled to do a lot of the research for my book, The Boy in the Suitcase, Holocaust Family Story, The Survival. Little plug there. But as you know, that's my ancestral homeland as well.
Yeah, I was reading that, and I'm like, you know what? Isn't it wonderful to have you call in and spend a few minutes of your time today on February 28, 2022, and speak with us? It's such an honor and a privilege to have you on.
Thank you.
So,
thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And so you ended up studying in Israel. Was that something you planned, or it just happened?
No, I hadn't planned it. I hadn't planned on being a Holocaust scholar at all, actually. I was just going about my business, teaching. I was teaching at a college in New York, and I then moved to Florida, where I was hired by the University of Central Florida, and I teach currently at an elementary school. I'm an academic support, but never had I thought about the Holocaust as an area of research and study, and far from my thoughts was going to Israel. Even though I am Jewish, it is the desire of most to go, Christians and Jews, to travel to Israel, but that wasn't on my radar at the time. My beloved grandma, Bella, was, grandma and grandpa moved from New York to Brooklyn, New York. They were immigrants from the Russian territories in Eastern Europe, and they told me just a little bit about the family history, but grandpa passed away, I would spend time with grandma, and she would tell me a little bit about her beloved village called Dubno, D-U-B-N-O, and she always called it Dubno, Russia, because that's when she was born. Dubno, the shtetl. Shtetl is Yiddish for village. The shtetl was in Russia. My great-grandfather actually taught, he was a teacher, he taught the children of King Osavska in the Russian territories, which then later became Poland. And so when I was visiting grandma, I get a little bit of story. And then after grandma passed away and my sister and I were cleaning out her house, in the bottom of a closet was a corrugated box, and in the box were pictures, and I take out this big 8x10 picture, and it was larger than 8x10, and I see a family in clothing that looked like around pre-World War II, in what, you know, would be Russia. And there was only one person in the picture I recognized, and that was my great uncle Arthur, which was her youngest brother. And I said to my sister, Sue, these are family members that we have never met, know nothing about, grandma didn't speak, I've got to investigate, this is a mystery. And so I viewed it as a mystery, not even thinking Holocaust yet. And so I did a little research. I started to do genealogy work. I looked where Dubno was and discovered that Dubno was in the Ukraine. And I said, how could this be? And so doing more history, going online to the Ukrainian archives, I then discovered the truth about my family.
Amazing! And you took the time. You know, a lot of people will come across stuff and their families or grandmas will hand down a story, and for some reason they don't follow up on it, but you've got a very curious mind, and I'm so grateful that you wanted to know more, because you went on to find out that there was a murder in the family as well?
Yes. So I decided that I needed to take a journey, and being a college professor, I had the privilege of being off in the summer, And so I booked a trip to Ukraine, and I flew into Kiev, and we now see what's happening in Kiev. May they continue to have the strength to fight. And so I landed in Kiev. I hired an armed driver. I hired an interpreter. And then when I got to the village of Dubno, I met, and I had pre-written a letter, a long, you know, a type of letter, a snail mail, not email, to the town historian and named Tamara. And so my journey in Ukraine began with driving with these, my entourage, to, and the reason I hired an armed driver, because I also was going to cross later into Belarus on another day for my grandfather's side. But so we drive across country, we drive across Ukraine, and we get to Lviv. Now, you've seen on the news, Lviv, is that's where the government, some of the government members moved to Lviv in the northwest Ukraine from Kiev to be safe. This is what's going on now.
Yeah, you know, as you speak, I'm saying to myself, we're hearing about all these places in the news right now, Belarus, yes, Kiev, yes, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, so yep. I hear that you were almost arrested twice.
Yes, thank you for asking about that. Now, let me point out to your listeners that when you have your passport taken away from you, you lose your identity. And one of the things I absolutely was not going to do under threat of arrest was give up my passport. So we drove across the country to Lviv, checked into the hotel, because then the next day we were going to drive to Dubno, and which again, as I mentioned, was Russia, then Ukraine. In between, it was under Polish control, by the way. So we check in the hotel. The next day we go to check out, and they say, your credit card that you gave us does not work. And I said, how could this not work?
That's like a traveler's worst nightmare.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a book in itself.
Yeah.
And a movie in itself. So we're in the lobby, and I say to the woman, oh, let me have my passport that's in your, because they take your passport, they put it in their mail slot. I said, can I have my passport? I think I have another credit card in there. I get my passport back. I literally am lunging across the desk to grab it. And then I realize my travel agent in America was a criminal. She frauded me. And every time I used my card, she would then use the card and depleted my account. And so my American Express card. So now I'm in a hotel in a foreign country, and they, that now I realize they must have pushed a button under the desk, and I turn to look at my driver and my interpreter. They're on the phone with their people from the agency, and to their right are two armed guards, Ukrainian police, with Uzis. And so now I had to think fast. And so I remembered off the lobby was a travel agency. I called my sister in New York, and it was 3 a.m. in New York. And I said, Sue, I need your credit card immediately. I need you to give it to the hotel. I gave them the phone, and I just said to the woman and to the police, I'm just going next door to check on my flight reservation. And so I whispered to my armed driver and my interpreter, load the luggage in the car and meet me out back. And I swear to you, that's what happened. I jumped in the car and we drove. And we drove to the airport in Lviv, and I flew to Poland.
Wow.
So,
that's a scary thing to happen to someone, especially when you're so far away from home. And thank God you at least knew some of the customs and the language. Can you imagine if that had happened in a place where you couldn't speak the language and everything was, it's terrifying.
Yes.
So, and then from there.
Wait, you want the second arrest?
Yes, yes. Ellen is dying.
Yeah. So, So I went to Dubno and to the village while still in Ukraine before flying to Berlin. And so I remember Grandma talking about the old marketplace, that before the Sabbath, before Friday night Sabbath, the people would come to the marketplace and sell their wares, their linen goods, the challah breads they'd make, etc. And so I said to my driver, let's go to the marketplace. We go to the marketplace, and Tamara had told me about the old Jewish cemetery. And so we walked past the marketplace to the Jewish cemetery, the old Jewish cemetery, which is not used anymore because it was destroyed. And there's a fence around it, protecting it. And I see there's a hole.
Oh, and no, so, you did not.
Oh, yes.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I got to tell you, when I came back to America and told my family what happened, they were going to lock the doors and never let me travel again.
Do you feel like it was a spiritual awakening that you felt connected to the people who came before you, your Jewish ancestors,
yes,
that were buried, that you had to,
yes,
pay respect to them and say, I'm here,
yes,
and I can feel,
yes,
you.
Exactly. And so, but beautifully said, Zita.
Thank you.
So, and Ellen, so I actually jumped through the hole in the fence. And behind me, I have Tamara yelling in Ukrainian. I've got my interpreter yelling in Russian and the driver yelling in Belarus. And they're all yelling in Belarus, and they're all yelling at me, no, you cannot go there. It is protected by police and whatever. You're not allowed there. And I turn, and in English I say to them, I did not travel all this distance not to see and bless my ancestors. And so I go down the hill, and it's like an old movie, like I don't know, like a Godfather movie, because my entourage is now chasing me down the hill.
We're just imagining the scene, an American in,
yes,
Ukraine breaking into a cemetery to get connected,
yes,
to her spiritual side. But you know,
yes,
what? That led to you becoming, mm-hmm, a scholar in,
yes,
in what you're doing now about the Holocaust, because,
yes,
those,
exactly,
people were talking to you. So everything happens,
yes,
for a reason, right?
Yes, and then I actually fell into a ravine and
oh, no,
realized, oh yes, and so the driver and the interpreter are pulling me under each arm out of the ravine, about 2 feet drop, and then I realized that I was standing on the ashes of my relatives, because they had, before the very first death camp was even built in Auschwitz and et cetera by the Nazis, they were coming into the villages and killing the Jews, and what are called Einsatzgruppen, Nazi roving troops of Nazis, and they came into my grandma's village. Grandma had already emigrated to America, and she got one brother out, but the rest of the family were lined up at the ditch area in the cemetery. They had to dig their own ditch, and they were shot.
So they were shot right where you fell?
Yes.
Well,
their,
oh my,
were,
oh,
were,
no,
under my feet.
Wow.
Yes.
See, and that's,
yes,
like divine intervention for me. Yeah, like that you,
yes,
trip right in that one spot, that spot. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, they were calling,
yes,
you. I say they were calling,
yes,
you. They wanted you,
they
to
were,
bust through that hole in the,
yes,
barbed wire and come and find,
mm-hmm,
them. Because they wanted you to tell,
exactly,
their story. And so,
yes,
so this, mm-hmm, is where the boy in the suitcase, mm-hmm, came from? All of this is part of that?
So, I just, I'll tell you, with Israel, I had been accepted. I was invited,
mm-hmm,
to come to Israel to study the Holocaust at Yad Vashem, which I accepted.
I bet they loved that story that you told, and I know you told them that story.
They did. And so I came back to America, and here's where the boy in the suitcase comes in. I continued my teaching at UCF. I supervised student teachers, and I had a seminar. I decided I needed to teach for social studies education. I needed to teach about the Holocaust so that when my student teachers graduate and go into their classrooms, they are learned about the Holocaust. And so I did a presentation to college students, and afterwards a young woman comes up to me and said, I was born in the Dominican Republic. My sister went to school in Sosua, Dominican Republic, with Jewish children from Holocaust survivors. I said, Dominican Republic?
Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing, right? Because who would think?
Right. But the dictator, Trujillo, decided, even though he was murdering his dissidents and he was murdering Haitians, he decided that he would give visas in Germany and Austria to people trying to flee from the Nazis. And so he did. And you have to read the chapter in the book to understand why he did it.
Yeah.
But so a group of survivors came to Sosua, Dominican Republic, and created a community there. And so I go where the stories are. That's why there's 9 family stories in my book. Each chapter is a different family story throughout the world. And each of those chapters, I lived in those countries every summer for 6 years. And I would come back, I did pre-interviews, post-interviews, did the research in the countries, would come back and write, lock myself in the house and just write from dawn to dusk. And it grew up to be the book, The Boy in the Suitcase, Holocaust Family Stories. And the Dominican Republic story became, my editor said, that needs to be the title of the book, that story. And so hence the baby who was smuggled out of Germany and in a suitcase and raised in the Dominican Republic.
Wow, what a fantastic story. So let's change gears just a little bit here. Now we hear you've got some screenplays started, which is so exciting. And before we go on, for our listeners who might be authors out there and maybe thinking about writing a screenplay, what's the difference between writing a book and writing a screenplay for you? What's your creative process?
As you know, there are 2 types of books. There's fiction, well, more than 2, and nonfiction. Mine is nonfiction. And there's the true stories. And you write in a narrative that's going to tell the information, but you also give a lot of research to back up. You have to support what you're writing. If you write a screenplay, it tends to be what's called historical fiction. So it's based on history, but you... I hate to say this, but my editor said, Cheryl, you need to sex up your stories. And I said to her, how do you make the Holocaust sexy? I said, it's a horrible time. My family was murdered.
Yeah.
But what she meant was fictionalize some of the story to make it more interesting, to make it a bigger visual.
To make it human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like it could be a boy and a girl who were in love, who was standing on that ditch when they were killed.
As a matter of fact, the Belgium story has a love story in the screenplay version. The Belgium story tells of a baker who was part of the Belgian resistance and hid infants in her bakery attic. Nuns would come at night and give them to safe houses. And so the Pope was involved, the Queen was involved, the churches and local people fighting the Nazis in Belgium. And that grew up to be, that story is in the book called The Baker of Carignan. Carignan spelled with a Q. And so I took the nonfiction story, made it into a screenplay, and so The Baker of Carignan is available from my entertainment attorney, as well as me, and it's a full-length feature film screenplay that we are still trying to get a producer to produce.
And you know something? Sita is so connected. She knows people in Hollywood. She knows people that have done documentaries. So just by listening to the show, y'all, if you are a screenwriter or producer out there, you might want to get in touch with Sita. So for our listeners who are tuning in today, we're speaking with Dr. Cheryl Needle Cohen, and she holds degrees in education and psychology. She's also a well-known Holocaust scholar. And I could just picture you writing a screenplay about that scene in the marketplace. Everyone loves to go to the marketplaces in other countries because that's the life of that place, no matter where you are, the marketplace, right? So, you know what? When I speak to you, I think, like, I'm now I could see where President Zelensky got his chutzpah from. You know, you are courageous. You are brilliant. You make great decisions based on the fact that you run into that cemetery with everybody saying no, and then you came out of it and you became a scholar, went to Israel, wrote this book, and you're sharing the stories and bringing this Holocaust, the memory of it, the history of it, and what happened to people, how unfortunate it was that so many people died. You're bringing that alive so that we could remember that culture. So tell us where we could find your book, The Boy in the Suitcase.
Like everything, you can find it on Amazon. My publisher is Roman and Littlefield, so you can get it from the publisher site. But it's just so easy to go on Amazon and type in The Boy in the Suitcase, Holocaust Family Stories of Survival.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Cheryl Needle-Cohn, and we'll make sure that we share all of your information on our Facebook pages as well as our website so people can find your books and also your screenplay when those come out. But we got to take a quick commercial break.